Every time you come to church, you'll be lifted out of all the conversations and all the things you hear all week long, and you will worship the God of the universe. And I believe we've done that this morning. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for calling us to the law of love. I'm going to actually ask if we can make a change on the order of service. All our planning all week long is just going out the window. I would like us to sing that song, Good and Gracious King, at the end again, so that'll make a difference for the guys in the sound booth and PowerPoint. Thank you for changing that. And if you could make a note, I should probably write it on my sermon at the end so I don't forget. But I would like us to sing that song, Good and Gracious King, again. It will make sense as we go through the sermon. That we glorify God when we trust Him. He deserves the greater glory, and we will see who He is, that He is good and gracious. Discouragement over a prolonged period of time sometimes leads us to despair. And when despair is extended to the point of being burdened beyond what we can bear, we lose hope. And without hope, I realize I didn't have my mic turned on. We're tempted to give up. Let me say that again. Discouragement over a prolonged period of time can sometimes lead to despair. And if despair is extended to the point where we feel burdened beyond what we bear, we can lose hope. And if we lose hope, we're tempted to give up. Have you ever felt that kind of deep despair? You know, the kind of hopelessness that you feel you have to hide from people? You have to pretend like you're okay, and you're afraid that those who are closest to you, your family and your friends, they might not be able to handle that kind of honest, raw despair that feels hopeless. Maybe you genuinely just don't want to burden others with it, but it is there. Sometimes we feel real religious guilt because we have to admit that we're discouraged in difficult times. Maybe it's because we've been told that God will not let you be burdened beyond what you can bear. But God does let you be burdened beyond what you can bear. Shortly after I came to First Baptist Church in April of 2017, it was 6 to 8 months later in January of 2018, I preached a sermon on the difference between temptation and burdens. If you were here, you may remember it. It was a good reminder to my own heart this week. But it was only yesterday that I realized in a greater way how these two things are connected. I believe when people say these things, they mean well, and they say, God won't give you more than you can handle. And I think it comes from this confusion between temptation and burdens. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He, God, will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And then in 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 8, Paul and Timothy are honest with the church. You may have heard me preach on this. And they're honest with the church in Corinth, and they explain that they are so completely burdened that it's beyond their ability and that they're actually in absolute despair. just listen to these words, 2 Corinthians 1:8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia." They're willing to speak the truth. And then it goes on, "For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." In counseling terms, we call that suicide ideation. You're so desperate that you're at a point of questioning, what is the point of living? We can't go on. It's that kind of despair. That we don't have the strength within ourselves to face the challenges that we face. And here, Paul and Timothy are being honest. In verse 8, "We are so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." And then verse 9, "Indeed, we felt that we received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." When we face something that is more than we can handle, then we need something more than ourselves. Verse 10, "He," God, "delivered us from such a deadly peril," this despair and hopelessness and the lack of strength for what they needed to do. "He delivered us," past tense, "and he will deliver us." There is this great hope of what God has delivered us from, this kind of discouragement and despair. And he will deliver us. And then verse 10 says this most amazing phrase, "On him," on God, "we have set our hope. And he will deliver us again." We're burdened beyond our strength, but this makes us rely on God. And when we're tempted to give up, God provides a way of escape. Do you see how these two things come together? God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with a temptation will provide a way of escape. God will let you be burdened beyond your own strength, but it's to make us not rely on our own strength so that we will rely on him. And what is the way of escape? To set our hope not on ourselves, but on God. I don't know if you are like me, but there's all kinds of temptations that come with discouragement. There is a temptation, if you are discouraged here this morning, there is a temptation to despair and to not look to God. There is a temptation to be harsh with your tongue. There is a temptation to attack others who disagree with you and to argue. There is a temptation at a low level of anger that is seething just below the surface, and it's ready to come out at anyone who disagrees. There is a temptation to lash out and get really big when we face problems because we are threatened. And rather than trusting God, we will trust ourselves. There is a temptation that we will carry on in our discouragement, in our own strength, and maybe even unknowingly, we will justify our sin because we are so discouraged. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. And here's the best part of the verse, that you may be able to endure it. Friends, at the end of this sermon, I'm going to ask you to rely on God and not yourself. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will yet deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Church family, last Sunday, I was so encouraged by the word and the message from Romans 14 and 15 to my own heart, calling us to unity. We faced and we continue to face the potential danger of division in the church. And I pray that by God's grace, we will continue to welcome one another as we are welcomed by Christ. But this morning, I want to come back to Romans 15. I feel like the very end of the sermon, we just had to rush through the passage and the parts about being encouraged. Do you remember last Sunday I said there was two potential dangers? One is division. The other potential danger is discouragement. And I want to look at these verses in Romans 15, verse 4, all the way to 13. We're going to go a little beyond our passage from last Sunday. And I pray, and I ask you to pray with me, that God would truly do this good work in us, that we would be encouraged as we set our hope in him. Will you pray with me? Kind Father, we confess our need. I confess my need. We are burdened beyond our strength. I am burdened beyond my strength. And when there is something we face that is more than we can handle, we need something more than ourselves. And we pray with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And we see and know the truth that we rely not on ourselves but on you. So would you cause us this morning to set our hope on you? That this is the way of escape from all the temptations to our own security in ourselves, our own justifying of our sin and the harshness of our tongue and the low-level anger and all the things we feel. Would you let your word speak by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would do this good work in us, your people, to produce endurance and encouragement and hope. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. When we are facing discouragement, where do we find our encouragement and hope to endure? Proverbs tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. So if hope can be restored, it will bring healing to our hearts. The sickness of our hearts will be healed. We will be renewed in our trust in God. And I believe that God will restore our hope in him through these verses. If you are here this morning and you are feeling discouraged, or you've just started down that road, or you are way down that road, and like the Apostle Paul and Timothy, you are at a place of despair, then I want to say to you this morning that there is hope. Look at verse 4. It's almost too good to be true, isn't it? Endurance, encouragement, and hope in one verse, all jam-packed together. This verse puts them together because I believe they're absolutely connected. If we will endure, then we have to have hope. And our hope comes from the encouragement. The only way we will be able to endure is if all of these are connected. Our endurance is through encouragement, and we find our hope. It's exactly like 2 Corinthians, the verses I started with. They were utterly despaired, it said, and so they set their hope on God. So where do we find our encouragement? Practically, this week, if you are discouraged, where will you find your encouragement? Look at verse 4. Where? In the Scriptures. In the Scriptures. For what was written in former days was written for our instructions, so that, or that, in order that, through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That's verse 4, and then look at verse 5. It begins, may the God of endurance and encouragement. And then look at verse 13, may the God of hope. Why is it that when you pick up the Bible and you read God's word, that you can find encouragement and endurance and hope? Because it reveals who God is. That we actually see that these are the attributes of who God is. When we face something that is more than we can bear, we need something more than ourselves. And in the Scriptures, we see the God of encouragement, endurance, and hope. And if we don't see God in our day, in our lives, we have hope only for this world and hope only in ourselves. And it is hopeless. What struck me last night as I was thinking about this is we need to add this to our list of attributes of God. You know, in the back of your Bible, when we were so encouraged with Exodus 34, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We need to remember this and faithfulness. Write it in your Bible. This is what God is like. And when you are praying and you are saying, Lord, have mercy on me, remember Exodus 34. The Lord is merciful. It's who he is. And cry out to God because of who he is. We can trust him because he is merciful. When you need grace, when you say, God, how can you be so patient with me? I run back to the same sin over and over again. Lord, forgive again. Be patient. And Exodus 34 declares to us, he is slow to anger. And he doesn't just have a little bit of steadfast love and faithfulness. No, he is abounding in it. And right in the back of your Bibles, you need to write, and he is the God of endurance and of encouragement, and he is the God of hope. Why does God's word have so much power to give us life? Because it's revealing the living God to us. And when you really believe it, the power of the Holy Spirit begins to come and begins to cause our hope to abound. That word means to overflow, more than we need. Abundantly fill our hearts. That's verse 13. Did you see it? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Where is joy and peace? It's in believing. It's in believing that God is the God who's merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. In believing that he is the God of hope. That as you pick up the scriptures and you see God as he is, revealing to your very heart in the middle of your despair. And you believe it. You believe it. There is joy and peace in that. And then there's a result, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is not a self-manufactured, hang in there, I can do it, believe in myself. Not at all. It is the Word of God that is by the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit causing us to abound in hope. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to reveal the living God and to produce hope in the people of God. And it's powerfully illustrated in this passage. Do you see it? In verse 4, it's what was written that's for our instruction. Endurance, encouragement, and hope of the Scriptures. Look at verse 8. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, to the Jewish nation, to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The promises that God would by them, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And the powerful illustration right in this passage is that our endurance, our encouragement, and our hope is based on the trustworthiness of God's word. That when God makes a promise, he will keep it. Look at verse 9. In order, the promises are given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in verse 8, but that it's done so in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Here is Exodus 34 again. And then it ends, as it is written, just like verse 4. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. That there is somehow this praise and this glorify, that they might glorify God, is already happening in the nations. And then what does he do in verse 10? He goes back to what is written. He goes back to the scriptures, and again it is said, the first time he quotes 2 Samuel 22:50, the second time he quotes Deuteronomy 32:43, rejoice, O Gentiles, with God's people. They're being brought into God's people. What does he do in verse 11? He goes back to the scriptures, quoting this time Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him, all the nations. Endurance, encouragement, and hope through the scriptures. And what is he doing? He's illustrating it all the way through this text. And guess what? Verse 12. He goes back to the scriptures, this time quoting Isaiah 11, verse 10. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. All of it is based on the scriptures. All of it is what God has already said. And what happens when they believe it? What happens if you believe and trust God? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. It is the word of God by the Spirit of God to do what only God can do, and to give you and me hope that will abound. Our beloved church family, where will we find hope in despair and discouragement? It's in God's word. And if you are living in a place of discouragement, I wonder if God's word is filling your heart and your mind and your soul as it could. It is so simple that when we see a vision of who God is as he's revealed in the scriptures, we realize we can trust this God. He is steadfast in his faithfulness and his steadfast love. We can stand firm on it by faith and believe and find joy and peace in chapter 15, verse 13. But if we are hopelessly lost in our own thoughts, if we are hopelessly lost in the opinions of others and all the messaging in our world, if we don't pick up God's word, we are doomed to despair. We'll listen to one on one side and another on the other side. And the way I thought of it is, you know, you hold up your Bible. You hold up your Bible and you just get so encouraged. And then you begin to listen to the voice of another and you reach out and you begin to hear and you want to deal with it. And then someone else speaks and you take the message from here. And then you take the message from here and you're saying, I got to find hope. And then before you know it, you put the Bible down and you're holding on to the world. You have no hope because you don't see God. We fill our hearts and our minds with opinion. We live in the moment and all the circumstance around us. But God has spoken. And God is revealing to his people who he is. Why? So that you and I can set our hope on him. When we face something that is more than we can handle, we need something more than ourselves. I want to give you an example. I actually brought this Bible. This is my preaching Bible. I put all my sermons in it, so if I ever have to preach, pray, or die, I just grab my Bible and I just flip it open and ask God to give me a message to preach. This is my Bible I just read every morning at home, and I just want to give you a practical example of what happened to me over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. I was feeling discouraged. Excuse me. I've been living in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we've been surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that, here's the reason, why should we consider him? Why should we let the word of God reveal who God is? Consider him who endured, and I was so struck by these three words, endured in verse 1, endured in verse 2, and endured in verse 3. Consider him who endured for sinners such hostility against himself. Why? And he gives us the purpose clause, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. If this is a message God is giving to me as your pastor, I want to share it with you. Then I started reading through chapter 11, and I love Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is focused more on the promise of God than the faith of God's people. We call it the faith chapter, but we miss the very fact that at the end of chapter 11, they did not receive what was promised in verse 39, since God's provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. There is something that is making us perfect, and it is faith in Jesus, because the very next verses say, look to Jesus, the author and perfecter, completer of our faith. But as I read through it, it's this powerful statement of trusting the God who speaks, the God who is revealing himself in his word. And as we see God, we will trust him. In chapter 11, describing Moses, in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ. Sounds a lot like chapter 12, verse 2, doesn't it? Considering verse 3, pardon me, him who endured. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, verse 27, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured how? As seeing him who is invisible. And if we don't see the Lord, how will we endure? We will prop ourselves up, we'll stand in our own strength. And maybe you can for a while, but if you ever get to the place where your strength is not enough. I went back to chapter 10. In verse 36, we have this amazing message. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming day will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. And then the rest of the chapter describes this powerful faith and trust in the promise of God, enduring because we see him who is invisible. And then I kept coming back to chapter 12, verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Here's the purpose: so that you will not grow weary or faint-hearted. Our beloved church family, when you are discouraged, will you run with me to the scriptures? Will you seek to know the God who is revealing himself so that you can put your full trust in him? Part of the burden that I bear this last week is that in the church we would have division and we would dishonor Christ. That our division would come out of our pride and that we would dishonor Christ because we would not consider or welcome one another who disagrees with us. And the discouragement that I felt, I was going to preach another sermon. I was going to go back into 1 Thessalonians. But God strengthened my heart when I looked at him. And I come to the scriptures and I see this fresh view of who God is. And I say, okay, Lord, I will trust you again. And I'm asking you to do the same. This is just one example of how hope can be restored from the scriptures. If you come back to Romans 15, there's a part in the middle that you will likely notice I didn't focus on. But when I came back to this just yesterday, I was truly touched again. Verse 4 says that it's through the scriptures, endurance, encouragement, and hope. And then verse 5 says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. It's not just put up with one another. It is the kind of harmony, such kind of harmony, that you are brought together in Christ. And in this context between Jew and Gentile, this is amazing. If we could break it down, this whole verse 8, all the way down to the end, there was hatred. There was a refusal to even go through Samaria. You know the New Testament. But they are brought together in Christ. The dividing wall has been ripped down, it says in Ephesians. And he's made the two into one. There is such harmony as the world has never known. Because we are brought together in Christ. How? By our endurance and encouragement and hope in the scripture from the God of hope and encouragement and endurance. And what is the result? Verse 6, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify God that he is doing what we cannot do. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Keep your finger in Romans 15, and with this I will close. I want to invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, the verses that I read at the beginning. We're going to come back and read the last bit of Romans 15, but I want you to see this with your own eyes, and I want to ask you to surrender to the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were utterly burdened beyond our strength, that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we'd received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us, past tense, from such a deadly peril, and he will, future tense, deliver us on him. We, together, have set our hope together, and he will deliver us again. And then look at this verse. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Now go back to Romans chapter 15, there are two prayers in our passage. Did you see them when I read it? Verse 5 and verse 13. My prayer is that this God who is revealing himself to you as a God of endurance and encouragement and hope. Both of these prayers, my prayer is may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you, it's the plural form of you, if we were in the southern states, it'd be y'all. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you all to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the prayer. And then he calls them to a command, therefore welcome each other. But the prayer is that God would do it. And then verse 13, here's the other prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound, overflow in hope. My dear friends, I am asking you to pray for First Baptist Church, for those in your families who may be not here or not attending, that we would not be discouraged, that we would not be divided, that we would humble ourselves and die to ourselves, and that we would take up the scriptures, and we would see the God who is doing this work in us, and that we would set our hope on him. Will you pray with me? Father, all over this room, I do believe that you are speaking to individual hearts by name. And you want to say that I am the God of endurance. I can help you endure. Just look to me and trust me. And for those who need encouragement all over this room, you are saying, I'm the God of encouragement. Look to me and trust me. And for those who do not have hope, all over this room, you are declaring by name to each one, I am the God of hope. There is joy and peace in believing my words. I'm revealing to you who I am. Look to me and trust me and set your hope on me, because I am a good and gracious King. I invite you to stand as we worship him together.